Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the book of Job, which is entitled, Is God Guilty as Charged? Today we're going to take a look at Bildad and also Zophar, because they're both taking their second turns at accusing Job of having sinned, thus bringing punishment upon himself. And we see in Job chapter 18 and verse 3 that Bildad starts to give his accusation against Job. This is Job chapter 18 and verse 3. Bildad the Shuhite answered and said, Why are we counted as cattle? Why do we seem stupid in your sight? Job had basically said that they didn't have any wisdom, and they didn't. They really didn't, so Job was right. Now going over to verse 5. Yes, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. Now dropping down to verses 12 through 13. This is verses 12 through 13 in chapter 18. His strength shall be hunger-bitten, and trouble shall be ready at his side. It shall devour the parts of his skin. The firstborn of death consumes his parts. Now to tell you the truth, when I read this, it makes me want to jump up and slap Bildad. I mean, how cruel can someone be? Bildad is watching Job suffering from excruciating emotional and physical pain, and he has the nerve to blast Job with accusations that his boils are punishment from God for being wicked. I mean, listen to this again. This is in verse 12 and 13. His strength shall be hunger-bitten, and trouble shall be ready at his side. It shall devour the parts of his skin. That's referring to the boils that were boiling up and devouring Job's skin, where he could start to see his bones. That's how bad it was. It says, the firstborn of death consumes his parts. It was like Job was being eaten alive by these horrible boils that Satan had put on him. And Bildad is saying that these boils are a punishment from God for you, Job, because you're wicked. But where's the proof? I mean, at least Bildad could have shown some proof. It's hard enough to take correction when we're wrong, especially when we're already suffering greatly. But it's 1,000 times harder to take correction when we believe we're right and our accusers haven't shown us one shred of evidence to the contrary. Where's the proof, Bildad? I mean, that's all I ask, Bildad. Show me the proof. Man. So now Job utters his retort against Bildad. And this is in Job chapter 19 and verses 1 through 11. Job answered and said, How long will you torment my soul? How long will you break me in pieces with words? 10 times you have blamed me. You are not ashamed that you have wronged me. And if indeed I have erred, my error remains with me. Now Job is saying this because they haven't shown him anything. They haven't revealed to him where his error is. They're just shooting from the hip. They're just grabbing things out of the air. They're just throwing stuff to hope that it sticks. So Job is saying, no, that's not happening. If I have erred, my error remains with me because you haven't done diddly squat to show me what my problem is. Verse 5, If indeed you magnify yourself against me and plead against me for my misery, then know that God is the one that's overthrown me, and his net has closed on me. Behold, I cry out, violence, and I am not answered. I cry aloud, but there is no justice. God has fenced me up, so that my way I cannot pass through, and he has set darkness in my path. God is the one that stripped me of my glory, and he has taken the crown from my head. He has broken me on every side, and I am gone, and he has uprooted me like a tree. Now verse 11. He has also kindled his wrath against me, and to himself he counts me as his enemy. Verse 21. Have pity on me, my friends. for the hand of God has touched me. He's crushing me. Why do you, like God, persecute me? Why do you, like God, persecute me? Why do you, like God, persecute me, and you're not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were engraved in a book. And I have to say, I really feel sorry for Job on several fronts. First, he's suffering tremendously from emotional loss of his children and his possessions. Also, he's suffering enormously from the horrendous boils covering his body. His wife told him to forget about God and die. His best friends have become his enemies as they lambast him for being wicked. And he surmised that even the Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, our loving Creator, that even God is against him. What a heavy, heavy, heavy burden to bear. And unfortunately, the burden is about to get even heavier, because now Zophar takes his second shot at Job. In Job chapter 20, in verses 1 through 5, we read, Zophar the Naamathite answered and said, Therefore my thoughts cause me to answer, even because of my haste in me. I have heard the rebuke meant to shame me, and the spirit of my understanding causes me to answer. Do you know this from the days of old, from the setting of man on earth, that the exalting of the wicked is short, and the joy of the ungodly is for a moment? And now dropping down to verses 18 through 23. As to the wealth of his trading, even he shall not enjoy it. For he pressed down and forsook the poor. He stole a house that he had not built. Surely he shall not know quietness in his belly. He will not escape with the things of desire. None of his food shall be left. Therefore his good will not last. In the fullness of his plenty he shall be in trouble. Every wretched one shall come on him. It shall happen at the filling of his belly that God shall cast the fury of his wrath on him, and he shall rain on him while he is eating. And now in verse 29, this is the portion of the wicked man from God, and the inheritance of his word is from God. And man, when it rains, it pours. For the first time, we hear a specific enunciation of Job's supposed sins. Before this, you know, Bildad and Eliphaz in their first and second shots at Job, again, they were just pulling stuff out of the air, just throwing stuff and hoping that something would stick. But all of it was really general. It's just, Job, I mean, wicked stuff like this doesn't happen except for to wicked people. Evil stuff like this doesn't happen unless it comes upon an evil person. Your children, they deserve to die because they sinned. And as bad as all these things are, and they are horrible without any proof, they were all just general kind of things. Zophar is the first one that makes an attempt to point out some specific sin of Job, but of course it's just another blatant lie. But he says about Job in chapter 20, verse 18, he says, As to the wealth of his trading, even he shall not enjoy it, for he pressed down and forsook the poor. He's talking about Job as someone that had oppressed and forsaken the poor. He also goes on to say that he stole a house that he had not built. That's just lies. Now he sums it up by repeating that Job is suffering for his wicked deeds. He goes on in verse 20, says, Surely he shall not know quietness in his belly. He will not escape the things of desire. None of his food shall be left. Therefore his good will not last. In the fullness of his plenty he shall be in trouble. Every wretched one shall come on him. It shall happen at the filling of his belly that God shall cast the fury of his wrath on him, and he shall rain on him while he is eating. This is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the inheritance from the word of God. So he was just summing up by repeating that Job is suffering for his wicked deeds. And certainly, this is not an example of judging righteous judgment. And in fact, it's not even a good example of the shallow practice of judging by appearance, since Zophar had never seen nor heard of Job doing anything of which he had just been accused. Zophar should have been wise, and he should have heeded the principle, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with whatever judgment you judge others, you will be judged likewise." Now again, as we talked about in previous programs, judging righteous judgment is okay. That's what God expects us to do. He wants us to learn how to judge righteous judgment. But if we cannot, then we should not judge. Because if we do judge with unrighteous judgment, if we judge just based on appearances, then with whatever judgment we judge others, in like manner, we are going to be judged. So we better be very, very careful. And again, I'm going to ask you the question, what is your judgment in this case? Job, in his attempt to clear his name, brought some very, very serious charges against God Almighty. Our question is God guilty as charged? We'll investigate these accusations in our future programs, but thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.
666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. I will reveal to you from the pages of the Bible the identity of the beast during two free seminars entitled, What is the Mark of the Beast? The first one will be held on Thursday, January 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Wesley Chapel Library, which is located at 2861 Wesley Chapel Road in Decatur, Georgia. The second seminar will be held on Thursday, February 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Covington Library, which is located at 3500 Covington Highway in Decatur, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you might miss the opportunity to escape the wrath of God that comes upon those who receive the mark of the beast. This message is sponsored by the ABCs of the Bible radio program.